Good evening and welcome to the call. It's great to be back with you this evening. I hope you enjoyed our visit last week with Scott Irwin. Scott's just the real deal. For those of you who aren't aware, Scott is the CEO of the Apex Pipe Company in Houston, Texas, and they're enjoying a pretty good year considering the economy when the rest of the pipe business is crying, as he shared with us last week, because he applies these principles in his life and has for some time. Scott's just a gem of an individual in a very tough industry. And as he told our coaches once when he spoke to them, he said, we need to teach this to everyone. The world would be a different place. He says, we IV everyone, and we're in the pipe business, for heaven's sake. Just a great individual. It's great to have him with us last week. And those of you who had an opportunity to listen, if you are a part of this program. If you're part of this program, you can go back and listen to last week's recording and hear Scott, and this is his presentation. For those of you who are visiting with us for the first time tonight, we want to welcome you to this call. This is an opportunity for us to get together once a week for an hour for a celebration of life. On these Tuesday night calls, we cycle through the six qualities of an intentional creator. We learn how to connect with people and learn the seven principles of intrinsic validation, those things that Scott talked about last week. We learn how to use our mind constructively so that we can receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion. We call that goals and expectations. We have a tendency in this world to fantasize and catastrophize and all kinds of destructive behavior, but how to use our mind constructively. And this is such an important piece in today's economy. I shared with you last week the statement that just keeps ringing in my ears from Hog Bandino's Scroll Number 1. And he talked about this, and it just jumped off the page just recently for me. I've read this scroll hundreds and hundreds of times. Well, not hundreds and hundreds, at least 100 times. And he talks about the fact that when he's reading these scrolls, that he'll read them in silence. And then he talks about, and what should I expect from this? What comes out of this process? And he talks about that I'll wake in the morning with a new vitality that I've never known before, a desire at sunrise to overcome all those fears that we have, a desire to overcome fear. Fear doesn't go away. We just have a new desire that helps us to take on our lives. And I was just going to turn to it and read it to you. Oh, here it is. This is wonderful. It says, my vigor will increase. My enthusiasm will rise. My desire to meet the world, it's the desire to meet the world, to get up and take on life, to be a creator, will overcome any fear I once knew at sunrise. And then he made this comment. And I'll be happier than I ever believed it possible to be in this world of strife and sorrow. August telling us that we're going to live in strife and sorrow. That's just part of this world. And as the economy fractures even more, it's going to become even more troublesome. And there's going to be even more strife and even more sorrow. But yet we can be happier than we ever believed possible even then, if we apply these principles. So we want to learn how to use our mind constructively so that we can receive or have manifest to us those inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion. And tonight we're going to talk about quality number 3, which is when we use that passion in passion-driven action, driving our focus and our effort and our discipline so that we can actually create in the tangible existence. And then the next week we'll talk about discipline and structure, and then finding joy in the journey, and then self-esteem, healing self-esteem, and then we'll cycle back through the six qualities again. We want to drive them deeper and deeper. And each time we do this, it is my desire to help turn on a light bulb for you to see it perhaps differently than you have any other time. If you're here for the first time, I want you to see if this rings true to your soul. And if it does, talk to the person who invited you here tonight, your affiliate or your coach, and make sure that you have these tools so that you can read them and study them and listen to them and attend these classes on Tuesday night. It's the most affordable coaching program on the planet. for the amount of hours and depth of the content in terms of assisting you in being able to function and focus and succeed in today's world. This is not skills-based training. These are the foundational characteristics that we're going to want to master to become an intentional creator in our life. So we welcome you. Now, as always, these calls on Tuesday night are yours. I have some things I would like to share with you. But this call is yours. Anytime you can press star 6 and come off of mute and just call my name, Dave, Dave, Dave. As soon as I hear you, I'll acknowledge you. And ask your question or share a concern or a success story, whatever is on your heart. And if your heart is pounding and you've got something that's happened to you, do not let this evening go by before you share it, because I can promise you that if you've got a concern, it's shared by many others listening. If you've got a success story, it will inspire others to be a better person this next week. Don't miss the opportunity to share what's been going on in your life to bless the lives of others. It's the most unselfish thing you can do. You may feel uncomfortable or fearful at first, but this is a safe place. This is your coaching session for everyone on the call, and we welcome everyone here tonight. Okay. This could be the first time you've heard this principle. It's a very simple principle, and that is that creation occurs in two very different places. Both are critical to creation, but one by itself does not create the other. Here's the truth. If you've got a pencil or a pen or a piece of paper, you might want to take a note or two. The very first place things are created is in our mind. In our mind. It can be very vivid. Our risk is that because our mind is quite often very vivid in its visualization, we have to be careful on what we focus that vivid visualization. If it's escaping to some time in the future, it's called fantasy, that's going to create all kinds of challenges for us. If it's escaping and being burdened by catastrophe, worst-case scenarios, something's happened, and as Og said, should I torment myself over events that may never come to pass? And the answer is no. We can waste a lot of time, very productive time, tormenting ourselves over things that may never come to pass. We may never witness them. But if we keep tormenting ourselves over them, we'll probably create a self-fulfilling prophecy. What we've been teaching is to use our mind constructively to vividly visualize that which we want to create so that it ignites our passion. And we know that part of our brain lights up that we normally don't use. When we get that inspired idea, we see it clearly. And then we focus on what needs to be done in the next year or the next quarter or the next month, the next week, the next day, the next hour to bring us closer to that process. That's the mental process. We have created in our mind. We can see it. We can almost touch it. We can almost taste it. But yet it is not intangible reality, and it won't be until we tangibly create it. That's the second phase. Now, in the first phase, this mental creation, there is a power greater than us that does participate. It is that power that manifests the idea, an inspired idea. I had this morning an inspired idea of such magnitude. I'm still glowing. The clarity with which this came, it prompted me to take action. Unbelievable things have happened this afternoon as that action's been taken to meet a very special need that is huge in this world. Oh, I'm just so excited about it. But that was a mental creation. It's not going to come into tangible reality just because I've seen it in my mind. But that power that governs abundance clearly sent a message this morning. It was inspired. It was just so dang exciting. Well, I know that's half the process. And every time I go back there to get the next piece, it just comes, and it's coming. It's been coming all afternoon. And a series of phone calls today in taking action. So with that manifestation of an idea. That's what that power does in our mind. It manifests an inspired idea, an impression, solution to a problem. This happened to be all three of them. An idea, an impression of what needed to be done, and a solution to a problem I've been pondering for 8 days. After we did the Bear Lake Brawl, the triathlon, the sprint triathlon, we've been up at the cabin since then. And I've just been pondering, reading, studying, working on the new book. And it got clear, the parameters of exactly what needed to be done. And I got the answer today. I'm really excited about it. Now what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day is the physical creation. Not just creating physically, but how that same power that manifests ideas now participates in the physical creation of that idea or impression or solution to a problem, albeit very differently. The manifestation of the idea in and of itself never manifests tangible reality. Never manifests tangible reality. Those who would like you to believe so are selling a book or a CD or a DVD. And that's how they made their wealth. It doesn't work that way. That power manifests the idea. Now, our passion has been ignited. Something inside of us is lit up. Part of our brain we don't normally use has been ignited. We are on fire. This is not boring. It's not mundane, and it certainly isn't repetitious. We are now going to go into action to make this happen. And when we go into action, two things happen. One, when, this is number one, so just write number one, when we fully use the gifts we've already been given. Fully use the gifts, we'll talk about this in a moment, we talk about procrastination. When we fully use those gifts, that power will manifest more ability. That's a very interesting principle. The second thing, as we're in action, on our path, that power will put people on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. The person I felt inspired to call today, I have been in service to for several weeks. Just grown to love he and his wife. Just wonderful human beings. Oh my goodness. Had no idea this idea would come. It was the farthest thing from our minds. There was no strings attached in the service. God placed him on my path so that I could serve him for the last several weeks in a crisis. And today, he was put on my path to serve me. That's how it works. I saw the impossible unfold today. It's thrilling. So that power, let's get clear on that one last time. The power greater than us, this mystical power that gets talked about in manifestation, in our mind manifests ideas, impressions and solutions to problems, inspired ones, that will ignite our passion. When we then take that passion and go into action, that same power will endow us with more ability when we fully use what we have, and will put people on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. And again, today, oddly enough, it turned out to be the same person filling both of those roles. That's very unusual. But that was very exciting. So here we stand. Here we stand in the here and now. That's what we're talking about, the tangible reality, physical tangible reality. Here we stand. And it's time for us to take this passion and this inspired idea and drive it into reality. We're going to create it intentionally in partnership with that power that's greater than us. We're going to want to ask ourselves two questions. Question number one. We wake up in the morning And, you know, we might have had some nightmares or tossed or turned, or maybe the furnace was too high or the window was open and it's too cold. Whatever it might be, we wake up in a different mood every day, as Og says in scroll number 6, one of the cruel tricks of nature. And we need to get re-grounded. So the very first question we want to ask is, why am I here? And the purpose for that question is to get us refocused on that goal above our head so we can ignore the obstacles at our feet. Scroll 3, I'll persist until I succeed. For I know that where dry desert and green grass grows, I'm going to persist until I succeed. We want to stay focused on the goal above our head. Why am I here? In the material, I shared the Peter Vidmar story. Peter shared this story when we were at Deer Valley. A bunch of us got together to talk about how to promote Kevin's book. The publisher was there, and we have the same agent. Our agent was there. Peter was there, and several other people. Wonderful human beings. Richard Paul Evans, Christmas box. And Peter got up on a chair and did a handstand. He's 48 years old, and he looks like he's still the same body he had within his Olympics in 1984. But here's Peter, and he tells us that from the time he was 11 to the time he was 23, 12 years, that he practiced 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, and he only remembers taking 30 other days off during that 12-year period. That's Christmas and Thanksgiving and 6 other days to use as he chose over 12 years. He's what they do. He and his workout partner, Tim Daggett, his fellow Olympian, they would walk into the gym, and Peter would look at Tim and say, "Why are we here?" Tim would look at Peter and say, "Why are we here?" That's all they needed, because they had a very clear vision of being in the Olympics. It was the last event. It was the parallel bars. And they would do this exercise when they got to the parallel bars because they'd already been working out for close to 4 hours. The blisters on their hands underneath their pads were already popped. Their muscles were extremely sore. This is a daily activity. Exhausted. And they had one more exercise to work on. And it would be the last one of the floor exercises. And they would envision themselves in the Olympics. And that's all they had to say is, "Why are we here?" And he said we would turn that practice venue into the Olympic venue. And Peter would play one of the judges, and while Tim was doing his routine, and then they would change places. And the coach would do exactly the same thing he would do in the Olympics. And like the green light went on, the judges raised his hand. Peter would acknowledge, he would go up. His coach would give him the last word of encouragement. He'd go up, do his routine, dismount, and they'd trade places. That was an hour or two of finishing their exercises. But why am I here? Put them in their vision. They knew why. They could see it so clearly. The last event, the Olympics, if both of them performed perfectly, they would beat the Republic of China for the first time since 1904. That was their vision. Now, that's an interesting why. Now, some of us may not have that vivid of a why. And if we don't, we're going to go back and we're going to want to explore what I would call our secret desires. Because sometimes that which we have called a why is an escape and avoid fantasy. It's a time when there's no more pain and no more pressure and no more stress, and we're living a life of ease, debt-free, with all the money we need to buy whatever we want and all the time we need, whenever we want to spend it. We don't have that permission from anyone. You know, that place that doesn't exist on this planet, it just doesn't exist. So if our secret desires are to be somewhere that doesn't exist, it can't be an inspired impression or solution or idea. That power that governs abundance does not give us escape and avoid inspired ideas. Now, if the idea is about serving people, yeah, probably. If it's about creating something exceptional and beautiful and fabulous that'll bless the world, yeah. But it's about getting away from all the challenges that we're facing. I can promise you that vision did not come from that power. Thus, it does not have the power to ignite your passion. It can cause a norepinephrine rush that makes you feel euphoric. It can create forms of counterfeit joy. But it cannot ignite your passion. So if you're having trouble finding a why, there's a very good chance that that which you thought was a why was nothing more than an escape or avoid fantasy. And that's why it doesn't ignite your passion. So just go back and take a look. And don't be discouraged to find out what the truth is. Because this is just a journey we're on. And wherever you are in the journey, it's okay, because you're moving forward. So start taking some action, even if you have to, without passion. And soon you'll be hungry, if not desperate for a why that'll ignite passion, sufficient to sustain that effort and action. When it's bad enough, the pain will cause you to quit or focus. Because pain has a way of making us honest. Don't quit. Never quit. Just always focus. As you explore the options looking for your possible why, identify something you would like to have and then ask, so I can. Get the answer to that and ask, so I can. Get the answer to that, so I can. Your mind wants to play tricks on you. It doesn't want to say, okay, I just want to escape and not have any more pain or frustration. But it's okay to get there. Because once we get there, we can make a change. What a powerful breakthrough. So if you go through this process and you find out that that's what it's been, now you know. Now you know why it wasn't creating the passion to drive the action. So standing in the now, facing your true secret desires, can become self-evident that the existence of ease is a clever lie. And the pursuit of ease will never ignite passion. In fact, it will do and has most likely been doing just the opposite. Now, always remember that the journey, is your why is just a journey. And it'll get better and clearer over time. And you'll start having moments like I had today. Now, it's been a little while since I've had one of those. I've been seeking this one for days and days. It's been painful. Wondering, is there something wrong with me? We all go there. What did I do wrong? Am I out of tune? Am I doing something irreverent? I just had to get clear. Get really clear. And as soon as I got clear, I could take that clarity to that source. And it very freely gave an inspired idea, impression, and a solution to problem. So when you get the answer, why am I here? It should be because I want to be there, very clearly, right there. That's the target. For that, I am willing to do whatever it takes to create one more millimeter between where I am and that. As Og says in scroll number 4, I'll concentrate my energy on the challenge of the moment, and my actions will help me forget all else. So this week, your very first assignment is to get to the bottom of this why question. You may not answer it totally, but remember, why? So that I can, okay. So that that I can, so that I get to the bottom of it and find out if there's any possibility that all of this time your mind has just wanted you to escape. And then go back and spend a little time with quality number one, connecting with people and using your mind constructively to create something that's going to bless the world, that involves lifting and building people. And see if you don't start to get more clarity, and with that clarity, a clearer why. Because the second question doesn't make a lot of sense till we've answered the first one. Now again, your why will get stronger and clearer with time. You just want one that starts to get you excited. Because the second question is, what does this, which is the thing I'm now facing this morning, what does this have to do with me getting there? So my why is I want to be there. Okay, that's my why. Well, what does this have to do with getting me there? Now I'm going to quote something right from the material. It says, there is a huge difference between motion and action. Difference between frenetic, non-goal-directed activity, that's like a chicken with its head cut off, and productivity. There are no badges of honor for being busy. Oh, I'm just so busy. Well, no badges of honor. Creation is not about activity. It is about results. And as I discovered the last 8 days, sometimes we just need to stop down and be quiet and listen. Sometimes we're going so fast in so many directions, we can't get to the essence. Creation is not about activity. It is about results. Now, it does take activity and action to get there. But the focus isn't the activity. The focus is the result. Can you imagine what America would be like right now if every employee in this country, every employer, most likely employers are there, are all focused on a result? At the end of the day, we will have done X. And the rest of it's just what it takes to get there. Well, there are three questions we get to ask to help us in this process. So we're facing this task. The question is, how will this get me there? And what does this have to do with getting me there? So we ask ourselves one question, number one, is this task of value? How many times do we tie up our entire day with things that are just exhausting and we can't even remember what we did at the end of the day? If our mind is clearly on, that's my why, and what does this have to do with getting me there, is this next thing I'm looking at have anything to do with that? Is this task of value? If it's not, why are we doing it? Two, is everything leading up to this task completed? Three, is this the next task that needs to be accomplished to create my dream? And parenthetically, even if I don't want to do it. We have a tendency to do the things we like to do, not the things that we should be doing or will want to do to move the task one step closer to our dream. If we skip the hard parts and just do the easy parts, we will never realize the dream. The devil is in the details. What does that mean? It means that a plan is shot all the heck if it's not sequenced properly. God taught us this. He organized the earth, separated the light from the darkness, the water from the land. Seeds were planted. Then the animals were introduced, and eventually the human being. There's a sequence to everything, an order to creation. You'd never pour syrup on your plate without first cooking the pancakes. You never seal an envelope and mail it without first writing a letter or signing and inserting a card, putting on the postage and addressing it. And so it is with creation. It is a series of steps, each building on the last and creating a solid foundation that will support the next action to create your dream in tangible reality. I'd like to turn to the material. It says, this may seem silly, but please follow. You cannot sell a product if you don't have a customer. You won't have a customer if you don't do prospecting. You can't prospect without leads. You will not have leads unless you do lead generation. Leads come from lead generation. Prospects come from leads. Sales come from prospects. Money comes from sales. Use the money to buy a Ferrari or save the world. What you do with the money at this point in the process is not as important as understanding how it is created. When examining a task you're about to do, go backwards and see if there is a step that has been missed. Go forward to get clear on where you are headed. Now, if there's anybody on the phone who's going, I don't want to talk about making money, all kinds of skepticism or guilt, reflect on Mother Teresa. Everybody knows Mother Teresa. What you might not know is that this self-denying ascetic was a master fundraiser who tirelessly and tenaciously created tens of millions of dollars in donations, one millimeter at a time. Now, for her, money was not the focus. She had all those poor kids in Calcutta and now beyond. But her mission was funded by money. Not just by goodwill or altruism or desire or passion. It was funded by money. And she did not wait for the money to just happen, because she was involved in a worthy cause. She had a worthy cause. Serve the poor. She also had a keen sense about what it would take to create that dream in tangible reality. So she did so. The creation of this dream, to have it actually manifest in tangible reality, occurs in millimeters, one step at a time, built on another. I want to take just a moment and read a little story that I put in this, in the program. I remember the morning I was working on this when this story came. I was a little frustrated, because so many just want to be able to visualize something with all the intention in the world, and somehow this fantasy fairy is going to magically manifest in tangible reality. So I have some fun with this. A painter paints with passion. She says she is not commercially or money motivated. She is an artist, an artiste. She works tirelessly, often missing meals and sleep. She also ignores the past due bills that are piling up in her mailbox. One day the electricity is shut off. Oh well, she says, it's more romantic painting in candlelight. 2 weeks later the water is shut off. Oh well, she says, I don't have to take time now to bathe. 4 weeks later she's evicted and finds herself in the street with her canvases exposed to the inclement weather. What do I do now, she says. Why do they think, who do they think they are? I am an artist. A person can spend time in passion-driven action, focus just on the things they want to do and enjoy doing. In the case of the painter, what is missing? Yes, the plan for selling the paintings. Canvases cost money. Paint costs money. Not to mention electricity and water and studio rent. Absent a trust fund or a sugar daddy, someone has to pay the bills. This is not the movies or TV. This is tangible reality. We can't flit around passionately painting in an unconscious daze, unwilling to face reality. This is real life with real expenses and real companies and people who want their very real money. What is the answer? One, she could hire a marketer, but she can't afford one. We might say, attempting to support her, well, here is the hard truth. Then she needs to wear both hats, do both tasks until she can afford one. A marketer, that is. But she doesn't want to hire someone, and she doesn't want to market, we say in her defense. So what? What has that got to do with anything in tangible reality? Paint the product, sell the product, have money to survive. It is quite simple. It is the law of tangible reality. Please don't be offended. But just reflect on our lives when we're creating something. How often do we just want it to just happen? Just because I'm a good person. I'm doing all the right things. Maybe not. And this is one of the primary reasons why passion is so critical. We'll want to be able to ask, why am I here? At the toughest moments in the day when facing the hardest tasks, and have an answer that still ignites passion and drives action. We may not love the task itself, but you can learn to love doing it because we recognize it is a critical step in getting there to your why. We can also, as we talked about in the last quality, we can ask ourselves, what can I create? How can I create? How will this serve when facing a task we don't want to do? Move beyond the task by finding something exciting, creating something while you're doing this. And how can you create it? Come up with a creative way. And how will this serve all those who are participating? And that will open up some creative ideas as it relates to that hard task, an inspired idea that will ignite your passion. So not only do you have your why, that goal above your head, you can actually have passion around that activity itself, in and of itself. If you ask those questions, what can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? Here's the truth. Success requires that we do hard things. Clearly, we will never get there to our why with fantasy. But neither can we get there by focusing on the quick and easy or just the things we like to do. Success is not about having the free agency to avoid the work of creation or choose what work we will or will not do. Free agency is exercised when we make the choice to succeed or the choice to fail. Once we choose success, this is such a hard concept to swallow on some days, I just know. But once we've chosen success, we will want to surrender and submit to whatever is required. If you choose success, you don't get to choose what you will and will not do. That is no longer your choice. Your choice was success or fail. You chose success. Now you do not get to choose what you do and don't do. Success requires hard things. Things that can be too hard without passion. It should become increasingly clear why passion is the secret to action. Passion comes from a clear vision. A clear vision comes from using your mind constructively. Constructively focused on blessing the lives of other people. Quality one to quality two to quality three. Boy, time is flying by so quickly tonight. Two more things tonight. Procrastination. hearts, the depths of all courageous hearts. Cor means blood. Courage. Courageous heart. Heart of hearts. What we discover, if we were able to go in and dissect the heart of a courageous person, we would discover they have all faced their fear. And this is what they did. They conquered their fear by taking action. And the flutters in their heart vanished. They now know that action, and only action, reduces that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, which is peace of mind. I remember the day this concept came to me. And I remember being tearful. The day that I realize that when I'm facing something that I don't want to do, either because I'm afraid I don't have enough time or enough expertise or whatever the fear is, it's screaming at me, but the noise in my head is screaming louder. That as it gets closer and closer and closer, it's screaming louder and louder and louder till finally it is screaming louder than the noise in my head. And I jump in with both feet. That means I shut the noise off in my head and fully engage. And when I fully engage, I most always say, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? I discovered that I had spent a lifetime being surprised by what showed up when I finally shut off the noise in my head. How about you? Have you been playing this game for most of your life? Because the next thing I discovered is that as soon as I had finished the task, I had the feeling I played the game over the same way again and again and again until this moment when it dawned on me that when I shut the noise off in my head, the reason why it wasn't so hard is because that's the only time my natural genius showed up unfettered. That's who I really am. That's who you really are. The one who shows up when you finally fully engage. That's you. Isn't that exciting? And we keep being surprised. No wonder self-esteem is so damaged. We don't even know who we are. We get to self-esteem, you'll find that taking action is one of the greatest ways to heal self-esteem. And it's for this very reason. You finally get to meet the real you. As I shared early on, the power that governs abundance, power greater than ourselves, I call God, will endow us with even more ability if and only when we fully are using what we've already been given. Why would that power give us more if we're constantly hiding what we already have? It won't. It's not arrogant to fully use what you have. Use it in the service of others. You'll have such joy and sense of accomplishment and connection with your own divine worth. And then that power begins to endow you with even more ability. That's a glorious thing. Procrastination is deadly. It truly has held us back. And lastly tonight, you can have some fun with the poem and living in the now and the aloof when you go through the material. That was written one night about 11 o'clock at the office. We're not going to spend any time on that tonight. I want to introduce the power session concept. Now, some of you have done this before, but most of you who have done this have stopped doing it. That's interesting. Because power sessions are a way of life. We do a few of them at first until we get comfortable enough to do them throughout the entire day. And pretty soon we are living in a power session. That's extremely hard for most of us because most of us spend so much time in our heads negatively, catastrophizing, worry, fear, etc. We're just not present. Well, we physically were present, but mentally we're not. And power sessions are to help us to start becoming more present in the now, in the moment, in creation. So I want to walk you through this process. If you've been here before and you say, I've already heard all this, then I say, are you doing it? If you are, you're experiencing miracles in your life. Power sessions. What a power session is simply a moment in time when we bring all of our genius, all of our ability, all of our intention, all of our focus, all of our energy on the task at hand, that thing we're doing, all of us, fully present, concentrating our task on that, all of our energy on that task. That's a power session. That's all it is. We're going to try to do 3 of those a day, just 3, for maybe an hour. So out of 24 hours, 8 or so of those you'll sleep. That leaves you with 16 hours. Out of the 16 hours left today, 3 of them. That leaves you with 13 hours to spend in your mind doing whatever you want to do. Just 3 in power sessions. I just want to inspire you to try this. As you wake up in the morning, you want to ask yourself these questions. Do I want to be successful? What would success look like for me? Am I ready and willing to do whatever it takes to create that? The answer is yes, then we just keep moving forward. Step 2, review the things on your schedule for the day, your to-do list, and just pick 3 of them, just 3. Now, those are 3 really important ones when you need to really be present. I advise that if you're working full-time, do 2 of them work-related and at least 1 of them family-related or friend-related. Now, you convert these into creation statements. Okay, at 10 o'clock I've got this meeting. What do I want to create? How do I want to create that? How would this serve? Quality number 2, we call this mental rehearsal, exploration, planning, goal setting. What do I want to do? What can I create? How can I create that? We start thinking about it before we get there. We get some really fun creative ideas. Then, we want to read scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. This is a wonderful scroll. I'm going to seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I'm not going to spend a moment mourning yesterday's defeats or aches of the heart. Why should I throw good after bad? I'm not going to torment myself over things that may never come to pass. I'm not going to try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse. Fantasy. I'm going to stay present in the now. Great scroll to launch the day. Then you're going to execute your first power session. It's 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, you really show up. You step into someone's world. You connect with them. You take down their walls of resistance. You create a safe place. At noon or sometime in the middle of the day, whatever your schedule is, about midday, read scroll 9, I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. I will act now. I will act now. You'll hear it ringing in your ears through the afternoon. Then you execute your second power session, and then your third power session. At the end of the day, you take just a moment and journal what happened during your power sessions. And what I want you to focus on is what happened that may not have happened had you not been this focused. What did you create today in that power session that may not have happened? Then read scroll 7, I will laugh at the world, put everything in perspective because some things don't always turn out the way we would hope. And the last step is sleep like a baby. Wake up the next morning, and you do it all over again. get grounded. You read scroll five. You pick those three things that are most important. You start mentally rehearsing them. You start executing them. You read scroll nine at noon. You finish executing the power sessions. You journal. You read scroll seven. Sleep like a baby. And you do that for the next 7 days. Some of you have been on this call for a few weeks. You know that I have promised this, and I do, emphatically. You truly show up like this for a week, three times a day, and you will create a miracle, and you'll know it. And next week, you'll want to report it. Five people so far, out of hundreds and hundreds of coaching clients, five people have done this for a week. Just five. That's how hard it is for us to be present for an hour at a time, three times a day, for a week. It's hard. I would encourage you to be number six. Create a miracle this week and come back and report it next week. Don't beat yourself up. You'll get so acquainted with the noise in your head, you won't believe what your mind tries to tell you when it's time to read a scroll that takes 4.5 minutes to read. You won't believe what kind of an excuse it'll give. When it comes to do a power session, you'll show up, but, oh, your mind just wants to go wander here, wander there, all this other stuff on your mind. You won't believe what it'll do. Just for those 3 hours. It's got 13 other hours to do that. And it'll want to disturb the three that you've chosen as power sessions. Take this on with all of your strength. Some of you will understand. If you want to approach it with a little bit more of a spiritual base, get your instructions in the morning, what you are to create. Spend your day in creation, those three power sessions. And at the end of the day, return and report the labors of your day. Create things in a sequential order. And every seventh day, take a rest. I believe we are built to be intentional creators. Built. The world has created so much craziness. And the messages of ease are paralyzing us. And the catastrophes that are happening in people's lives are killing us. We can learn how to have peace of mind in a firestorm. I'd be focused in doing these power sessions by focusing on people, using our mind constructively to ignite our passion, then bringing that passion into the here and now and letting it drive our action. No more boring, mundane, repetitious work. Passion-driven action. Now we have about 6 minutes. I just want to open this up because sometimes we talk about power sessions, there are questions. There needs to be some clarity, or any questions or comments or concerns or success stories. Anything anyone would like to share. You've got 7 minutes. Just press *6 and come off of mute, and I'll acknowledge you. So it's your floor. Everybody's here. I'm going to take you off of mute just a moment.
Dave, can you hear me?
Okay, we're off of mute entirely, so you don't have to struggle to press *6. We've got about 5 minutes. Are there any questions or comments before we wrap up this session tonight?
Dave, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
This is Ramona.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, honey. One thing that you might want to clarify is that this isn't something over and above, but something that you are going to be doing anyway, but you're just going to be focusing and with such intention and being present in something you already have on your schedule.
Well said. Well said. Ramona was explaining to us that when you're picking these three power sessions, these are things you already have scheduled. If you're going to have dinner with your family, you're going to be there at dinner with your family. The question is, are you going to be preoccupied with challenges at work, or are you going to be fully present, stepping into the world of your children or your spouse, or are you going to be fully present? If you're going to be at a meeting at 10 o'clock, it's on your schedule. You're going to be in the meeting anyway. Are you going to be fully present? Are you going to be looking for what's good in another person's idea? Are you going to be listening for doors and stepping into people's worlds? Or are you just going to be angry, frustrated, or judgmental, or whatever might be the natural tendency? May not be yours, but that could be. Are we going to be fully present in the moments of the day three times during things that are already scheduled? Thank you, sweetheart. That was a great, great comment. Any other questions that anyone would like to ask before we wrap up this session?
Hey, Dad, this is Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Long time. I've got preoccupied in a schedule change. I just had some other commitments, but, you know, it's just amazing when you go a couple days, a couple weeks without these scrolls in your life, to plug back into them and realize that the simple things you do in your life, Dave, that make so much more of a difference, and how much life in general doesn't want you to succeed. But your principles are incredible, Dave, and I just touching back things with you and getting back on schedule.
Well, Kenny, it's great to hear your voice, and you're incredible too. And thank you. If everybody could hear, this phone is breaking up a little bit. He just talked about if you get away from these principles for a week or two and come back, you can feel the void. You can feel that you're absent, staying focused on these scrolls. I'm going to close with this paragraph from scroll number 9. I will act now. Only action determines... Let me just put this on mute one moment. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. And to multiply my value, I will multiply my actions. And the way we do that is showing up in power sessions. I will walk while the failure fears to walk. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I will talk when the failure remains silent. I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on one. You know, that multimillion-dollar deal they're going to knock down. I will say that it's done before the failure says it is too late. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command. It's my favorite sentence in the scrolls. I will command, and I will obey mine own command. I will act now. Success will not wait. If I delay, she will become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. I will act now. Why am I here? What has this got to do with me getting there? Is this a value? Has everything been done before I do this thing? What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Trusting that as I fight through the fear and take action, my genius will show up. I'll be endowed with even more if I need more. People will be put on my path that can serve me and who I can serve. And with partnership from that power greater than myself, I will create the inspired ideas that power has given me intangible reality, and it will be the fastest that creation can occur. It's not going to be fast or easy. It's the fastest way to create. We can keep believing in fantasy, that somehow things will magically manifest, and we can spend a life in failure, misery, and sleepless nights. Or we can act now. Well, thanks, everybody. Let me give you the number for those of you who would like to participate with us on the affiliate call immediately following this call. Call 218-936-7999. And the code is 366-398. That's 366-398, and then pound. And join us on the affiliate call for the next few minutes. We'd like to invite you to join us there. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Now, in preparation for next week, you'll report on your power sessions. We'd love to hear from some of you. And we want you to study the section on finding joy in the journey. This is so critical in our day and time. How do we manage sorrow and joy and find gratitude? How do we find peace of mind? So if you could read through that or listen to it by next week in preparation, and let's make next Tuesday night